Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in. Time for a psychological profile time with Dr. Birnbaum. You know, Frieda, I found out this morning there are over 4 million handguns in the United States right now in people's possession. That's pretty scary. Yet at the same time, the violence from handguns is increasing logarithmically. Let's talk about the mind of a shooter, Frieda, if you wouldn't mind.
You know, absolutely. We are living in very hard times right now. 75% of Americans don't trust the government, as opposed to 65% 3 years ago. So just before I talk about this, I just want to stress the fact that we have done a lot of decreasing our social services, and there are increases in purchases of guns,
right,
and in drugs and mental illness, car rage. All this contributes to violence. But when we talk about the psychological profile of Frank James, he's the Brooklyn subway shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he fits right under this profile of mass shooters. They're usually loners. They're often unemployed. They lack self-esteem. They feel rejected by society, and they don't have relationships. Well, you know, well, Frank James, he fits under this because he is also someone who's estranged from his family. He's 300 pounds. He's 62 over 6 feet tall, although sometimes he does talk to his sister, but he does move from place to place, job to job. He has no girlfriends or any type of other relationships or friends. And he just got fired from a job as a machinist. And he claims it was because of racism. But really, he was told because he didn't obey the rules. So as that continues, he has committed crimes before this in New York and in New Jersey. And he even has a YouTube that was taken off because of his attacks and hatred and terrorism remarks. So he has injured 19 people and 10 people with gunshots in the subway station in Brooklyn. And so we need to look at what's going on behind the scenes. Why are these copycat peak shootings happening? So they're really involved with social media, and there are chat rooms where they recruit these loners who are, they're not mainstream, to have better lives, jobs, relationships. And then the social media services should absolutely censor all hate words, terrorism, racism, discrimination. So if someone you know is not connecting alone, no friends, no relationship, you have to befriend them, and you have to be aware that they may go and do something that could be very dangerous. And of course, you should go to health facilities as well to help you. But the copycat shooters have been so rampant now. We're talking about the mall shooting in South Carolina. 9 shot, 5 people injured. Gang shootout this month in Sacramento. 6 dead, 12 wounded. A blood fest here in New Orleans, the worst in 10 years. A party in Pittsburgh, 2 killed, 9 injured. A club in early Sunday in South Carolina. They're still investigating that. So we are really in the midst of all these tragedies, that are going on around us, and these people all need mental health services. But as I said, the profile of these people are usually that they're loners, they're not accepted in society, feel disrespected. They feel they don't have a voice, they're not heard. And this is the way for them to feel heard, that they can finally be visible at the sake of other people and their own lives as well. But it's also very important to know that people are fearful now of going onto subways. And they should know that it's 1%, 1% of people are affected by shooters. So your life needs to go on. It's similar to going in a plane or driving a car. You do put yourself at stake, but you don't stop living your life. And we often call something like this post-traumatic stress syndrome. And that's reliving your past. And we have to know that's a perception. You have to be able to live in the moment. And if you're having difficulty with that, bring a friend with you. Do it slowly. But don't stop living your life, because in response to all this, the likelihood of something happening again is very small. So when we look at the profile of these killers and what we do about that is when you do see somebody who has changed in their behavior, or you see someone who seems to be in a bad place, do approach it, the subject, if you can, and do see if you can give them some mental health services or let them talk to you, because you may be preventing a lot of violence.
You know, I think more and more people need to be aware of what you just said, Doc. And in the sense, the reason I say that is because we have a real epidemic going on in the United States right now. And I'm certainly not talking about COVID. I'm talking about mentally ill people. You know, when Kathy was alive, she worked an awful lot in the industry, actually, I should say, the field that you work in. And she said that she felt that one of the biggest problems, you hit the two biggest problems, in my opinion, but a very real problem, I think, has a little bit to do with mainstreaming. Do you have any opinion on what I just said?
Yes, well, people feel that they are very vulnerable to not fitting in. So this man was overweight. He was someone who had a strong presence. And most of all, not connecting to other people. Everyone has issues. And if you think that your issues are worse than someone else, you become hopeless. And you have to be able to see that life is not about being perfect. It's about working through what is going on with you, because things don't stay stagnant. They can move on. They can change. And if you allow that to happen, then you know that tomorrow can be another day and you can move on in your life. But these people don't see that. They have not been successful most of their lives. They haven't had parents that related to them, friends. They've been conditioned for things not to work, and that's the problem, that they don't have that kind of support system in their lives.
You know, it's funny, I was in Seattle. I don't live in a major city, as most of our listeners are aware, but I was in Seattle for the Easter holiday, and I went out for a walk. My kids live in a residential area that's probably, five blocks away from what I would call mainstream Seattle. So I walked up to 45th Avenue, which is actually almost exactly five blocks from their house, because I just wanted to kind of see what was going on in there. And you know, Doc, what I have to say is I made it a point, you and I have had this conversation before, and I made it a point to really kind of scope out people and see, is there anything here that I think is kind of weird going on? And I have to tell you, in my neighborhood, as in your neighborhood, which is pretty upscale, there really is nothing weird going on. But walking down the street in Seattle, Washington, a main street as this one was, I have to tell you, I really, really stopped and thought about what was going on. And I thought about the universe I was in. Dr. Frieda, thank you.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.